Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a very good evening. Welcome to the airways of the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM, and you're with myself, Mohammed Zain Majid. And yes, it's that time of the evening, of course, on a Thursday, time for Q&A. And of course, we'll be joined very shortly with the Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, who will, of course, answer all of your questions. And the options for you to send us through your questions is, of course, you can SMS us on 47913, or you can, of course, WhatsApp us on 0722380712. And joining us this evening from Pretoria, and none other than Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Muhammad Zain. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khairan.
MashaAllah, how's Mufti keeping in us Pretoria this evening?
No, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Alhamdulillah, last week they had the Ijtimaiye in Lens, in Pretoria rather, 40,000 people, mashallah. So mashallah, we're meeting some of the brothers who are still working here, you know, after all the big gathering. Mm-hmm. So, mashallah, things are very well here. Yeah. Nice weather here. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti, we go setting in our first question this evening. It says, Mufti, can women go into the masjid when they have their menses?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah jalla wa ala speaks of this topic very similar. Almighty Allah states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara, hatta ta'lamu ma taquloon, wa la junuban illa abiri. So it shows that people who are in the state of intoxication and the people who are in the state of junub, and that is ceremonial impurity, so they cannot come near the masjid and enter the masjid. So similarly, when a lady is in a state of menses, then also she cannot enter the masjid. You know, when Nabi alayhi salatu salam performed the farewell hajj, just before coming to Makkah, our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, then her menses started. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, now you can't perform your umrah if Ali kama yaf'alul hajj ghayra alla tatufi bil bayt. That now you can't perform, so you must do, you know, everything the hajis do, go to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, but you can't perform tawaf of the Baytullah. So this is the reason, because a lady who is in haiz, in menses, cannot enter the masjid.
Shukran, Mufti. Listeners, says, I would just like to know what the Quran says about niqab and the different madhaib. Is a woman's face part of her awrah?
Remember that Almighty Allah addresses this issue in Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 59. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala states, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kulli azwaji, tell your beloved wives, wa banatik, and your beloved daughters, wa nisa'il mu'mineen, and the believing men, they are women, so our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihin, they have to draw clothes to themselves, meaning they have to wear the jilbab, that's the outer garment. Now when you go to the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas and the great, great, eminent, illustrious Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then they say that she has to cover the face and so forth. We must not make a mistake. Aura of a woman is different, and when she emerges from a house, that is different. Aura means when that lady is reading Salat, for example, her entire body will be covered except her face and her hands. And her feet also will be covered, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, that's compulsory. Hanafis say mustahab better, but not compulsory regarding the feet. So that is awrah. But when the lady emerges from the house, then the laws of niqab and all that is different. So we must remember these two separate issues there.
Shukran Mufti, keep those questions coming via the SMS line on the number 47913, or you can WhatsApp us on 072-238-0712. I'm just going through a couple of questions that we have received last week before I attend to this evening's questions. Mufti, if a woman divorced with children, she's not working, looking after kids, must the husband pay for rent, food and all bills for her and her children, Mufti?
Here we need to understand two, three separate issues. When the husband divorced his wife, then all the expenses that the husband has to pay for his wife, so he will pay that during the iddat period. So her clothing and food and everything. And for the children, yes, that he will continue paying for the daughters till they get married, for the sons till they can work on their own, you know, and so forth. So all that will be there. Now, obviously, if the children are small, and the mother is taking care, so the children are staying in the house, so he will have to pay the rental, the water lights, telephone, all that will be upon him, so all that will be compulsory upon the husband. The intention is that he's paying for the children, although the ex-wife is also benefiting.
Shukran, indeed, the voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM, and of course the voice here of Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, answering all of your questions. Now, my husband's children is under 18, don't want to live with me, the stepmother, as they don't accept that we made nikah without the consultation. Mufti, what does my husband moved out to live with them now? I only see him 2 hours per week, no intimacy for 30 days. Is this right? What are my rights as his wife?
Obviously, what the husband is doing is unacceptable. You can't just leave your wife and go away, and then you don't leave no provision and all these type of things. So that is unacceptable. Every husband must know what the Quran Kareem states. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with equity and justice. We can't just be walking away and just leave them. What must they do? From where they're going to get income? What about the children, if there's children? So therefore, we must be much more responsible.
Okay, Shukran Mufti. Now, Mufti, can Mufti please explain this Judas Shukr?
Remember, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam allowed Sajdah Shukr, for example, Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, when they did not go for the battle of Tabuk, the Quran speaks of it, wa ala thalathati alladhina khulifu, the three sahaba radiallahu an stayed behind, for 50 days, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, there was a boycott, and then the Tawbah was accepted. When the good news came to him, then he made sajda. So Sajdah Shukr is allowed, but what is gone viral nowadays, that is not allowed. What is gone viral nowadays is this, that any person, and anywhere you are, you just go into Sajdah, whether you are facing Qibla or you're not facing Qibla, whether you got wudu, you don't have wudu. Example, a person, his name Ahmed Muhammad, is playing football, and now he scored a goal. So now he just goes and jump with his short pants into Sajdah. Since when all this can be permissible? The person is playing cricket. He scored a century. Now he decides, let me make sajda there on the pitch. So how can all that be permissible when that person got no huzu, that person don't have qibla direction, nothing? So according to Aimma Arba'a, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbali's, that is not permissible. And the dalil and evidence for that is that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this salat. And salat is not la salata bi ghayri tuhurin. So illa bi tuhurin. So salat must be done with taharat. So how this law is applicable for salat, it is applicable for the juice of salat, the portion, like sajda tilawat, for example. You can't read sajda tilawat without wudu, without facing qibla. So the same laws will apply for Sajdah Shukr as well.
The voice of the king.
Welcome back. We continue now with Q&A on the Voice of the Cape 91.3 FM. And joining us once again online, none other than Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. And we continue now taking your questions. Of course, you can do that via the SMS line on 47913 or WhatsApp us on 072-238-0712. The next question that we've got, Mufti, is Salaam, Mufti. I'm no longer married. I fasakhed my husband and I'm living with my children. Their father took ill. He needs care now. My children took him in. We don't talk much and I keep my distance. We are not young. Are we allowed to live under the same roof, Mufti?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Once the system plays, then that is the last by in an irrevocable thing, that the separation between you all is similar to a talaq. So it's not talaq in a technical sense, but the nikah is finished. So anyway, the point here will be that we will say for you all to stay in one house under one roof, that's not permissible. So either what you can do is that you get married to him, and in that way all the problems will get solved, or either that he moves out or you move out, or you have to do something. But to stay in one house under the same roof and after fasakh without the nikah, that would definitely not be permissible.
Shukran, Mufti. We're just going to phone Mufti back quickly because the line is very, very scratchy, and see if we can get a better line. Inshallah. To the listeners, in the meantime, keep those questions coming via the SMS line on 072-238-0712 or SMS us to the number 47913. Remember, we'll continue the program until just before Aisha this evening, inshallah. If I look at my next question that is coming, it says, Salaam Mufti, I understand under mother's feet is Jannah, but what does that mean if my mother is rude and treats my wife like an outsider despite she trying to be a daughter and not her daughter-in-law? I must just look and say nothing. Is it wrong to tell my mom that she is also my amanat, Mufti?
Muhammad Zain, I think there's a jinnat here. Now this line you phoned me, my line is gone scratchy. So I can't hear. Your words are playing, but it's all double. So okay. I can't. So either you'll phone me again from that first line, or we go on my cell phone, whatever you'll decide. All my cell phones are on. But we can't get you with this line because okay. It's very dodgy.
No problem. We'll get rid of that jinnat quickly, recite a few verses. Inshallah, we're going to play the ads. And when we come back after this, we'll continue with Q&A. Well, welcome back. We continue now with Q&A. Well, that question that I posed, Mufti, it says, Salaam Mufti, I understand that under the feet, the mother's feet is Jannah, but what does that mean? If my mother is rude, treats my wife like an outsider despite she trying to be her daughter and not even a daughter-in-law, I must just look and say nothing. Is it wrong to tell my mother that she is also my amanat, Mufti?
Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us al-jannatu tahta aqdam al-ummahat, which means that under the feet of the mother lies Jannah. But obviously it does not mean that a mother has a license to oppress people or to trample on the rights of people. Meaning that you must speak to your mother with love and respect if she is wrong and so forth. But you must never ever show disrespect to her or hate her and so forth. You can hate the sin, but you can't hate the person. So what you should try and do is you should be the peacemaker, put your wife there, put your mother there, and explain to both parties what their roles are. And in that way, you beg Almighty Allah that sanity can prevail.
Now, Mufti, which is more beneficial, doing tawaf or umrah every day during the month of Ramadan?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan ma'i. When a person performs Umrah during Ramadan, then you receive the reward of Hajj with me, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the authentic hadith in Muslim and various compilations. But remember, majority of the scholars say that the more tawaf you make, it is better than Umrah in all months, including Ramadan. All of you going for Umrah now in Ramadan or Shaaban or whenever, remember, practice on this hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, من طاف بالبيت 50 مرة خرج من ذنوبه كيوم ولدت أمه. Who performs tawaf 50 times, 5 0. So one tawaf is 7 rounds, 7 circuits. So you go around the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa 350 times. And kharaja min zunubihi kayomin waladat umuhu. You come out so pure and cleansed from your sins like the day your biological mother gave birth to you. So try and do that, my dear sister, dear brother.
Now, Mufti, is it permissible for a lady to perform salah during pregnancy if there's any complications?
Yes, she must read salah even if she's pregnant or she's breastfeeding, because we must remember she is not in a haid, she is not in menses, she is not in nifas, she postnatal. So if she can't stand and read, then she must sit and read. If she can't sit and read, then she lie down and read. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhuma, salli qa'iman, stand and read. Fa illam tastati' fa salli qa'idan. So sit and read. So even if you sit on a chair, but you must read and perform your salat on time, sister.
Now, Mufti, I'm about to get married as a young lady and would like to attend marriage classes. My fiancé keeps on promising to take me and him, but always seem to have excuses and gets upset whenever the question gets popped and has more excuses. Can Mufti please advise me as to what to do in this case?
No, in a case like that, you leave the fiancé and the fiancé out and all that, both of you. You go to a muallima sister and ask the muallima to teach you. You brother, you go to the sheikh alone and the sheikh will teach you. The main thing you must know is that what you must do on your wedding night, I'll tell you now quickly, on your wedding night you must read the 2 rakat nafil salat. You, the husband, you will be the imam and your wife will be behind you. It's a new phase, a new stage in your life. Number 2 is you give your wife a gift beside the mahar that you gave her, the mastawi, besides that. And 3rd one, you just sprinkle water on your wife's forehead and your wife sprinkles some forehead on you. You see, brother, this we call the radiator policy. You see, in the car, it gets hot, so you got radiator. So Yamuni, you know, Yamuni, they get cross and angry with her and all that. So therefore, you just put the water on her forehead, she put on you, so Allah says, cool now and muy, inshallah. And you make dua. Surah 25, verse 74, Surah Furqan, the criterion, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. And you read, Ya Wadud, Ya Allah, enhance this love of ours.
Ameen, inshallah. Now, Mufti, is it permissible for a couple to get married on the disapproval of the wakil, in this case, who is the brother, and parents, the mother, with enough evidence to prove the guy is not suitable for her, but the girl is adamant that they're still in contact and he is promising her they will be together, Mufti?
Remember that if the girl's father is alive, the girl's father is a Muslim, and he refuses and he has valid grounds to refuse, then if the brother or anybody else give permission, that permission would not be valid, because Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Abu Dawood, la nikaha illa bi waliin. And more so, obviously we answer the questions as they are posed to us, that you are saying that this boy and girl are not really compatible to one another and so forth. So in a case like that, oh sister, don't let your emotions get the better of you. Listen to your father and so forth. And there are valid grounds he has, because that boy is not suitable, compatible for you.
Shukr, indeed. Keep those questions coming in via the SMS line 47913 or WhatsApp us on 072-238-0712. The program is Q&A. We continue after this. The voice of the day. Welcome Welcome back. We continue with Q&A on 91.3 FM. Keep those questions coming via the SMS line 47913 or WhatsApp on 072-238-0712. Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein on the line this evening from Pretoria answering your questions. Now, Mufti, can a husband sleep with a co-wife if it's not her turn to be with him? As she says, because she's the first wife, he can. Mufti?
I don't know what's happening. Just repeat that question, please.
Maybe because it's a two-wife story. That's why Mufti didn't hear. Let's just go again. It says, Salaam, Mufti, can a husband sleep with a co-wife if it's not her turn to be with him? She says because she's the first wife, he can. Mufti?
If you have two, three, four wives, then equality must be done in Mabit. Mabit means spending of the night. So one night, 1 week, 1 week. So if it is wife number one's turn and you don't sleep there and you go to wife number two, if you do so without a permission, that is wife number one's permission, then that is not permissible. But if she gave permission, she made iskat haq, she forfeited her right, then only is permissible. But you unilaterally on your own, you just go, you say no, I can't do so, and you don't take permission, that is not permissible.
Shukana Mufti says, Shukran for a great show. My parents got married whilst being pregnant with me, so I'm an illegitimate child. Can my father, biological father, be a mahram for me? And secondly, does he break my hudu? And also, how does this compare to a father-in-law? Can the father-in-law break your hudu? I have children from his son, Mufti.
Okay, here there are two, three issues we need to clarify. Number one is when your mommy was pregnant, and then the nikah is...
Mufti, I think Mufti must just move in a better area because now the seems that the cell phone is breaking up there in Pretoria. Mufti, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mufti, was Mufti moving because it just broke up for a few seconds there. I can hear Mufti now.
Okay. So what I was saying is, according to the Shafi'is, the Maliki's, the Hanbalis, that in a case like this, that she will be, or that person who was born, that will be, Nana will be, Majhur, between not far between Nasab, will be illegitimate child. Illegitimate child, the Nasab, the lineage goes to the mother and not to the father. So in that case there, if that father, inverted commas, touches her, then the wudu will break because he's considered as ajnabi, as a strange person. Regarding the marriage, now she's married, everything, she got father-in-law, so father-in-law is a mahram for her. So remember that if she shakes the hand of the father-in-law or father-in-law shake her hand, then the wudu is still valid because he falls in the category of mahram and a person she can never ever marry.
Shukran Mufti. Now, Mufti, I would just like to know, what is the process when a man gives his wife one talaq and he comes back to her? Do they have to get married again, or what should happen if the wife is still under iddah?
If the husband gave his wife one talaq and she is still in iddah, then he can take her back without the jadidun nikah, without a new nikah. There's no problem with that because Quran Kareem states, At-talaqu marratan, that if you gave one or two talaq, فَإِمْسَاكُ مِنْ مَعْرُوفٍ, you take your wife back during the iddah, there's no problem. However, for the future, the husband will only have two talaqs left if this was the first talaq.
Salaam Mufti, my toddler cries when I dress to go out and wear a scarf, even cries blue murder when I make namaz and wear a salat thobe. Same goes when the baby goes outside. Ladies with scarves on, someone says it's nazar, and someone say the baby sees jinns. How do I know and how do I help the baby? Is now 22 months old, Mufti.
What you should do, sister, is read Qul Ya Al-Kafirun, Qul Wallahu Ahad, Qul Wa Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Al-Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Al-Nas, and Ayatul Kursi, and blow on the beloved baby of yours, and read always after your salat and so forth, Surah 46, Surah Ahqaf, verse 15, Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati, O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness in my children. So sometimes remember that the baby cries and all these type of things. We believe Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, "Inna al-ayna haqqun," that verily the evil eye is the truth. So you take this type of defensive mechanism and you read it, blow on that wonderful baby of yours, give out some charity, 150 cent daily, and Almighty Allah will protect your baby, inshallah.
Ameen. Now, Mufti, I want to prepare myself for when it comes for the month of Ramadan. I'm paralyzed and the bath is very high. I can't perform ghusl. What would I do?
May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make it easy. So what you should do is this. Either you got your son or daughter or somebody who can help you there in wudu and so forth and ghusl and all that. If it is the father, then the son will help. Or if it's the daughter, if it's the mother, then the daughter should help. And if there's nobody to help you and you are totally alone, then remember in a case like that, because you are paralyzed and so forth, you can make tayammum also because you fall in the category of a person who's ill and sick. But that will be the last resort. So my advice, whether it's wudu, whether it's ghusl, remember that you should try and do it or get somebody to assist you, maybe your son or daughter or somebody, and in that way there, that you do what you know is the original ibadat and act, and that is the wudu and ghusl.
Now, Mufti, is a husband allowed to ghusl his wife on the day of her janazah if they stranded like the desert, etc.?
Remember, in a normal situation also, if somebody passes away today, so if the wife passed away, can the husband give ghusl to the wife? Yes, that is permissible according to Afi'is, Maliki's, somebody's. And the real and the evidence they give is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala that he gave ghusl to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Only the Hanafi say that the husband cannot give ghusl to his wife when she passes away because now the nikah is broken, so he can marry his wife's sister, so therefore he cannot touch her skin to skin, but he can see her.
Shukran Mufti, what we're going to do is quickly pay the bills, and of course when you come back...
But the ghusl only that Hanafi say would not be
Mufti
permissible,
was
but majority scholars say that is permissible.
Shukran Mufti, what we're going to do is quickly pay the bills because it seems that our line is again very scratchy. Inshallah, we'll get a better line. But we still have about 20 minutes left of the program Q&A. And of course, remember you can SMS us. Quite a few questions that we've received both on WhatsApp and on the SMS line. If you are sending any new questions, please rather SMS it to us on 47913 because we are able to go back on the SMS line tomorrow or next week and get those questions. Unfortunately, with the WhatsApp line, we are unable to go back. Once it's gone after 12 o'clock or tomorrow, we won't be able to see it again. So if you're sending in anything new right now, send it rather to 47913. We continue after this. The voice of the game. Continue now with the questions that we have received on Q&A 91.3 FM, and it says, of course, next one, how does one handle being invited to parties where all your friends go, but strange young boys are also invited? Can Mufti please give some advice to deal with this?
Can you repeat the question, please,
Mufti? It says, Mufti, how does one handle being invited to parties where all your friends are going, but strange young boys are also invited? Okay, Mufti, please give some advice of how to deal with this issue.
Remember, Quran Kareem is clear on all these issues. Quran Kareem, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 30 and 31. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا Believing men, they must lower their gazes and protect their private parts. And then the next verse, Almighty Allah speaks about the females. Similarly, they must lower their gazes. Now we as Muslims need to understand the rationale in all these laws. Every avenue for nikah, Islam made easy. Every avenue for zina, fornication, adultery, Islam made it difficult. So therefore, Islam says, where they're going to be men and women, young or old, and there's intermingling and all jirmakar, would not be acceptable, because one thing definitely indicates another, and therefore the Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not even go near fornication. So therefore Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us we need to stay away from this type of thing.
Now Mufti, is it permissible for a pregnant woman to sit and perform salah when they feel tired? Also, what can be recited for a healthy, pious baby, inshallah?
Remember, for a healthy, pious baby, you should read Surah 37, verse 100. Surah 37, just after Surah Yasin, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O Almighty Allah, grant me pious children. O Almighty Allah, the dua which Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam made, and then inshallah, Almighty Allah will make your children very pious also.
And the other part of the question, Mufti, is it permissible for a pregnant woman to sit and perform salah when she feels tired?
When a lady cannot stand and read due to a pregnancy and she sits and reads, so that is permissible. She can sit and read because of a pregnancy. She should not cause harm to herself and not cause harm to the unborn baby, the fetus as well.
Can Mufti please explain Jam Salah? I'm a woman going to stay with my family for 1 week. And secondly, how far away from home do you qualify to make Jam Salah, Mufti?
For a person to be classified and called a musafir, you have to travel 48 miles or more, 78 kilometers or more. You don't work from your house, you work from the boundary. So the boundary of your town or your suburb or whatever, and where your destination is, so boundary to boundary, border to border, 48 miles or 78 kilometers, that is how it works. If you make intention to stay there at the destination for 4 full days and more, then you must read full salat according to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's. If you make intention to stay there for less than 4 full days, then you make qasr salat, you have the option. So fajr salat, you will read 2 and 2, the sunnahs, and then the farz, zuhr 2, asr 2, maghrib 3, and isha 2. However, Hanafis say, if you stay in your destination for 15 days and more, 1-5, then you will read full salat. If you're staying there for 14 days and less, then you will read qasr salat according to the Hanafis.
Shukran. Can Mufti please explain, I know of a particular person, a Mawlana, who worked with jinn and knew how to chase them away. Is it permissible to work with them in the sense that they can help you, but not anything if fortune telling? What is the Islamic ruling on this, Mufti?
My advice to you is let the Mawlana carry on with the jinnat stories. You don't get involved in these things here. I'm telling you, I know of incidents where people try to get involved in this, and then they suffered, their family suffered, some people got killed in the process. So brother, sister, my advice to you, this is a very, very delicate and very, very serious scenario. So therefore, remember that my advice, don't even think of getting involved in this. For protection, you should just read Ayatul Kursi, read the 4 quls, Qul Ya Kafirun, and the last three surahs, and stay in wudu, and Almighty Allah will protect you, inshallah.
Ameen. Now Mufti, is it haram for a female to have herself sterilized, meaning she won't be having children anymore, Mufti?
In Islam, that is not permissible for a man to get castrated or for a woman to get sterilized, because in Islam, tanakahu takatharu, Islam says that the ummah must get more and more. So therefore, for the woman to sterilize herself, that definitely is not permissible.
Shukran. On that note, I think what we're going to do is we are going to pay the bills. When we come back, we'll be in the last segment of our program, Q&A. Back with the last few minutes of our program Q&A. Next question, it says, Mufti, I'm a single mother of 3 children, and Allah the Almighty helped me to let them grow up with their salah and Quran, alhamdulillah. Now Mufti, my son that is the eldest one of 30 years old was very rude to me, and if he don't get his way, then he used to break my stuff to puzzle pieces, and he's disrespectful to me, so it became so unbearable that I had to put him out of the house. Now he's a much better child, alhamdulillah. Did I do wrong, Mufti? But I ask Allah to guide me that I must never stop making dua for my children.
MashaAllah, sister, Allah Ta'ala reward you. You did your best to bring up your three children. What you did is totally... No son, no daughter got the right to be rude and break things and all these type of activities at the home and threaten the mother or that. So what you did, never feel guilty. Yes, continue making dua for your beloved children. And then he also now has reformed and become a better person. Obviously, he must apologize to you. To all of you, the parents, always read this dua, Surah 46, Surah Ahqaf, verse 15, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh, beloved Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness in my children, progeny, and grandchildren.
Shukran Mufti, our next question says, two questions from a listener. I'm so glad to be part of this discussions, alhamdulillah. My question is, Mufti, if my husband left home for more than a month, what is the wife's rights? That's question one. Question number two, can a stepfather marry his stepdaughter?
Remember that the husband can't just leave the house and for a month or a week or whatever, and now the wife doesn't even know the way about and where must she get the food, who must pay all the bills. This is unacceptable. It's haram for the husband to do that. You want to go somewhere for a week, for a month or whatever, you must make the necessary arrangements, inform your wife, make mashura, consultation. We must be more responsible. We can't just go away and say Allah will take care. We have to tie our camel and then we place our trust in Almighty Allah. So that is the teaching of Islam. Stepfather can't marry stepdaughter. If you mean that in a case like this, the lady married now that second husband, let's call him, and after he consummated the marriage with that lady there, then for him to marry the stepdaughter, Quran says, once he has consummated the marriage, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُم مِّن نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِ دَخَلْتُم بِهِن. So then the stepfather cannot marry the stepdaughter, absolutely haram. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 23.
Shukran, Mufti, just checking if... Okay, not that question. Salam, Mufti, my husband every time run away from the house. If I caught him, this woman, then he just want to come back in a year's time and he hide him. I mustn't know where he stay. What can I do? Okay, Mufti, please advise.
Remember, in a case like this, where it seems the husbands are playing hide and seek with their wives, they go away, maybe they got friends, they get busy with drugs or smoking, Allah alone knows, or they got girlfriends and mistresses, they get use them as a spare wheel, and then they just want to come to back home, and Allah says, Rech, how can everything be okay? It's not okay. So you, the women, you got two, three options. You must tell your husband, first thing we're going to do, he must go for an AIDS test to see that he is not affected with AIDS or sexually transmitted diseases and so forth. Because in Islam, Islam does not say that if the husband is now here and there and everywhere and we don't know what he's doing, so that is going to impact on you negatively, your life will be destroyed, so you have all the right to do that. Secondly, you must tell him, you're giving ultimatum, if he goes away again, then you're going to go to the ulama, MJC, or imams, and apply for a fasakh, annulment of marriage, because he's not giving you nafaka and maintenance for the 1 week or 1 month or whenever he's going away. So you have many reasons there. So you need to make your stance, your standpoint very, very clear to your husband.
Now, Mufti, I'd like to know, I'm 49. Lately, I've experienced my head twice in a month. This time I had the second time on the 28th of March. Until now, still experiencing spotting. Now it's already 24 days. When do I start my salah, Mufti?
According to the Shafi'is, remember the maximum period for your menses is 15 days. And then after that, you must wait for 15 days, clean days. So the minimum clean days between two menses is 15 days. That's according to Hanafis and Shafi'is. Hanafis say the maximum period of menses is 10 days, while the Shafi'is say 15 days.
But between two menses, the minimum period of clean days is 15. So meaning if you experience any spotting, bleeding during that time, that is classified as istihara. So you must continue reading your salat, but for every salat you will perform a fresh wudu, and then you continue with your salat.
Shukran Mufti. And then SMS in from says, I am Amir. I recently embraced Islam. MashaAllah. All the best to you, inshallah, Mufti.
MashaAllah, brother, sister, anybody embrace Islam. Always remember the great tidings mentioned in the Quran Kareem. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَنْتَهُوا يُخْفَلْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Tell the people who abstain from kufr and disbelief and now they became Muslim, their sins are forgiven of the past, the hukukullah. So all the sins they committed against Allah, Allah forgives them. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Innal Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Verily Islam erases the sins of the past. So my brother, my sister, my advice to you will be that you should read Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 8. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. O beloved Allah, do not let our hearts get deviated. After you have given us guidance, وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا. O Almighty Allah, grant us from your side the special mercy. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. Indeed, you are the best of givers. And go to a sheikh or a sheikha. If the male, go to a male, female, female. And inshallah, you keep on learning something new of Islam every day.
Inshallah. Final question for this evening, Mufti. I'm married to a very affluent person, but unfortunately our marriage may be terminated due to continued problems. We have a civil marriage, which is a community of property being 50% of assets each. The civil marriage happened by default and my husband was not aware of all civil marriages, etc., etc. The question, however, is my husband insisted I stay at home. What can I claim according to Sharia after divorce, Mufti? I do not want to go the civil way of 50-50.
Remember, sister, that you all were married, COP, community of property, and your husband was an affluent person. So whatever you put in, capital or otherwise, remember, you know, it can be other things, jewelry or whatever. So remember, that belongs to you. And whatever belongs to him, belongs to him. Don't use the loophole of your matrimonial regime, and that is the COP, community of property, and start claiming 50%. Remember, that will be un-Islamic, especially now that you are divorced. But whatever your husband gave you while your marriage subsisted, remember that belongs to you, and he cannot take anything. If he gave you a car, he gave you a house, he gave you jewelry, all this belongs to you. Remember, the Quran Sharif is very clear on that issue. Surah 4, verses 21. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. That even after divorce, the husband or the family of the husband, no one can take back anything from you. That's absolutely haram and it belongs to you.
Shukran indeed, Mufti. That concludes all our questions. Alhamdulillah, we've received more than 90 questions this evening. But of course, we can't get through everything, so the rest we'll pose in our next program. And we've got about 2 minutes left for some nasiha. I know, Mufti, want to go make Isha as well, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. All of us are aware that we are in the month of Rajab. And according to some history books, on the 27th of Rajab, the miraculous nocturnal journey of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. The journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, that is known as Isra. And that is mentioned in the beginning of the 15th juz, the 15th part of the Noble Quran, Subhanalladhi, in the beginning of chapter 17. And from there to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from there to the seven heavens. So all this happened, and we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe it was physically, bodily, in the state of awakeness. It was not a dream or a vision. Now the question we need to ask ourselves, what were the gifts that were given to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this great, magnificent occasion? The hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, authentic hadith. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received three gifts. One is the 5 salat. We read 5 times and we get reward of 50. The second is the last 2 verses of Surah Baqarah, ثم آمن الرسول بما أنزل فالوعف أنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. So that were two verses were revealed and given to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Mi'raj, crying by Hati. They are excellent verses. And when we read it, wa'afu anna, then Ya Allah, the past forgive me. Waghfir lana, the current and present, Ya Allah, cover my vices and sins. Warhamna, and the future, Ya Allah, envelope me in your mercy. Allah says, fa'altu, I have done so. So imagine we by heart it and we read it beautiful. And the third one, the great tidings, for that person who passes away and did not commit kufr and shirk, any blasphemy, polytheism, then that person goes to Jannah. The esteemed listeners of Voice of the Cape, I just want to bring your attention towards two, three things quickly. Number one, every act of Islam that became compulsory, zakat, hajj, fasting, was compulsory here on the land and sand. But salat became compulsory in the heavens and skies to show us the importance and significance of salat. Therefore, tonight, my dear brother, my dear sister, make that firm intention, never will I miss one salat again in my entire life, inshallah. That's number one. On 27th Rajab, and remember it was a Friday, the year was 1187, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahimahullah liberated Palestine. So always remember Salahuddin Ayyubi's contribution. Who will be the next Salahuddin to liberate Palestine from the apartheid Zionist regime? We know we are so passionate in Cape Town about Palestine, about Masjid al-Aqsa. So tonight, my dear brother and sister, go into Sajda and beg Allah. Ya Allah, show us in our lifetime the freedom and liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And my last message, I really do apologize. I think there were some jinnats around here in Pretoria. So therefore, we had to get the deadline. But anyway, we try our best to convey the message to you, Bamzain, brother, and to the entire team of Voice of the Cape, my listeners. Barakallahu feek, jazakallah khairan, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair to you, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain. Allah protect and guide you, inshallah. And of course, we look forward to speaking to you again next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, to all the listeners, shukran indeed for participating, for all your questions. As I said, we will deal with the other SMSs that came in our next program, inshallah. Until next time, from myself, Muhammad Zain Majid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.